This is the Kadasi. This is the last one of the Purushottam month. There's a lot of wind now, coming from the east. This is where the monsoons come from. They come from the east. So our kirtan is pure, and it should bring rain. So there's a lot of good news today. There's another brata coming up. You can tighten your seat belts. We thought you were about to land, but actually we're about to take off. Because this is the first day of a five-day brat called Panchavratri. Ratri means night. Sometimes it's Panchavati or Panchavratri. It begins on Ekadasi and ends on Purnima. So today is the 12th and the 13th and the 14th and the 15th. So it's called Panchavratri, but it's actually only ends on not Purnima, Amavasya, on the 15th. So this brata, all it says about this brata is that you eat once a day. Eat chop and bowl once a day. But this is the last Ekadasi. This is called Kamala. Kamala Ekadasi. Sometimes it has another name. Here it says Parama. Now this is Krishna speaking with Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira asks about this Ekadasi, what's it all about? Krishna says it's Param Ekadasi, it's auspicious, it destroys all one's sinful reactions, awards one liberation and enjoyment, or let's say enjoyment and liberation. The procedure for observing this Ekadasi is the same as the previous one. The previous one was Nirjal. This is Nirjal, stay up all night. So this is the same. One should worship the Supreme Lord who is the master of all beings on this Ekadasi. And we'll have our program of Artik every 3 hours, beginning at 10 o'clock. 10 and 1 and 4 for ski lamp, and then ghee and kaffir, then kaffir and aguru oil. And we'll offer some sweets. Ravindra's bought some nice, very costly, tasty sweets for the Lord. Doda. We should call it Radha. Instead of Doda, we should say Radha. Right. Doda. What does Doda mean? What's a Doda? Dokla. Dokla means a cheater.
Doka.
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 This is Doda. And we want Radha. And we want to offer Radha to Krishna. And we want to offer ourselves to Radha. And then if she accepts us, then we'll offer her to Krishna. That's one of our sevas. So we should call this sweet Radha, not Doda. And then when we're serving it out, we just say Radha, Radha. Aniyor, Radha, Radha, Aniyor. Give me more. That's more Radha is good. And less Doda. So we should worship Krishna. Now please hear an enchanting story which I have heard from the sages in the city of Kampilya. So Krishna is also repeating what he's heard. This is the process. Even Krishna doesn't feel that he has license to create stories. Well, want to hear a story? Once upon a time, Krishna is very much an agent of tradition. He's very much a representative of the parampara, which he, of course, establishes. That the parampara is the valid way to receive transcendental knowledge. Everything descends. It's called Avaroha Panta. Avaroha Panta, the path of descension, descending knowledge. So even Krishna doesn't feel, although he's Bhagavan, he's the creator, the cause of everything, and he's the Adi Guru. But even when he speaks, he cites references, he cites Praman, he cites Itihas, he cites history, and the Rishis. And oh, I've heard this. Because if we are to speak, we can't simply say, well, I think, I believe, it's like this. That's called opinion. Your opinion, my opinion. But Krishna, of course, his opinion is absolute. But even he's quoting authorities. He's quoting the authorities of the rishis. So when Yudhisthira asks him about the glories of the Sikadasi, Parama Ekadasi, he says, well, I've heard, Krishna says, I heard some sages discussing a very interesting story, which I'll repeat to you, Shravanam Kirtanam. And you try to remember it. Sri Krishna said, there was a pious Brahmin named Sumedha. That's a good name for a Brahmin. Medha means intelligence. And Sumedha means good intelligence. As it's told in Navyogendra, it's told in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, that if someone's intelligent, he'll take to the Sankirtan movement, right? Krishna Varnam, Trisa Krishnam, Sangopangashta Parishadam, Yagya Sankirtana Praya, Yajantihi Sumedasha. Yajantihi Sumedasha. Yajanti means Yajan. Patan Patan Yajan Yajan Dan Pratigra. Sadkarma Nipuno Vipra. A Vipra, he's expert. Sad Nipon means expert. And six karmas, six actions. So here in the Bhagavatam, Navyogendras are teaching that in this Kali Yuga, Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishnam, he appears not in Krishna Varna, Varna means color, but Akrishna means the opposite of black is white or gauri. Gauri means white or fair or golden. So Krishna comes in Kali not as black but as golden, the golden avatar. This is predicted in Bhagavad. Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishnam, Sango Pangashta Parishadam. He comes with his parishads, his family members, his associates. And there is Panchatattva. Panchatattvakam Krishna, Bhakti Rupa Surupakam, Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam, Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. These are the Panchatattva. And we also pray every day to the Panchatattva. Before we begin Nam Sankirtan, we pray to the Panchatattva. Before we begin our mala, what do we pray? That's one prayer. Now, how do, when we're addressing that is the name. Now, what do we? Each of the Panchatattva is in charge of a particular aspect of Krishna Bhakti. So, which one is which? No, that's only one. That's Bhagavanga. Each member of the Panchatattva, he's giving mercy. He's a shelter of a particular type of energy or quality. So this has been revealed by Sarva Damodara Goswami in his Karcha. He says that Srivas Thakur, he is the Shudanama Shraya. It's in this book that one should read. He says that he's a Shudanam Ashraya. He's the Ashraya, he's a shelter of Shudanam, pure name, name which is mixed with bliss, name which is mixed with knowledge, spiritual knowledge, name that is mixed with Radha and Krishna, Sakshat. This is Shudanam. So he's the shelter of that, Shudanam Ashraya, Srivas Thakur, Narada Muni, Bhakti Avatar. So we pray, O Srivas Thakur, you are the shelter of pure name. Please give me shelter at your lotus feet. And please bless me that I can also receive the Shudanam in my heart. So this is one member of the Panchatattva, Srivas Thakur. And then we approach Sri Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya, he is a shelter of Pancharatrika Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi, Artrika Vidhi. Which means the process of worshipping Krishna by various mantras, like Gopal Mantra, Kam Gayatri, Guru Mantra, Gaur Mantra, Gaur Gayatri, and the various tantrics, and the white tantra, and the type of practices we use in puja, Archan Vidhi, worshipping of Krishna. So he's a Pancharatrika Vidhi Ashraya. And part of our Pancharatrika Vidhi, or our worshipping the Lord according to the Pancharatrika system, which is given by Narada Muni, is a study of Bhagavad. They also study Bhagavad. So this Vaitacharya, he's the shelter of that. He's the Ashraya. And then after him, we approach Gadadhar. Gadadhar Pandit, he is Bhavashraya. Bhav. And we're aspiring, all of our actions our hearing, our chanting, our serving, our associating, our chanting of prayers, our prikama, our bhajan, our jap, our Vaishnava seva, everything we do should be mixed with bhav. Bhav is unlimited. It says unlimited as Krishna. Because bhav is Radharani ultimately. Bhav is a shakti. Bhav is an energy. And bhav is unlimited. So bhav has many degrees of bhav. So even the beginning bhakta, he should be a bhava bhakta. A bhava bhakta in the beginning, in the making. Bhakta bhav. Instead of bhakta bill, it should be bhakta bhav. We should all have bhav. We should chant with feeling. We should serve with feeling. Everything with feeling. Not mechanical and not all kinds of calculation or fear or hesitation or doubt or confusion, but with feeling. So the shelter of this bhav ashraya is Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Bhav. And there are many types of bhav. There's Thai bhav, and there's Vyavachari bhav, and there's Sattvic bhav, Vip bhav, Anubhav. So these are different bhavas. And then there's the Madhurya bhav, Gopi bhav, Sakya bhav, Vatsalya bhav. There's Bhava Bhakti. At any rate, so this is Gadadhar Pandit. He is Bhava Shraya. And ultimately, the ultimate expression of bhav is Mahabhav. And Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani. So he's a shelter for us. And we approach him. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. But no, there should be some methodical, systematic approach to each of these personalities of the Panchatattva. And praying for their specific mercy and teaching and offering that they have. Because each one of them is making a contribution. Because these are the five elements that make the cake. Right? What is the cake? The cake is a phal. The phal is prema. Prema pamartamahan. Krishna prema. So if you want to make the cake, you need flour. You need salt. You need sugar. You need water. You need milk. You need different elements. And fire. So these are the elements. Pancha tattva. Five vastu. Pancha vastu. Pancha tattva. Five truths. Five substances. And each of them are representing an invaluable, necessary ingredient for the cake. That's in our analogy. For the phal. Sadhana phal. The sadhya. The goal. So therefore they're indispensable to us. We cannot do without them. So we must understand their purview, their area of concern, and what their contribution is for us. Hare Krishna. So therefore, Gadadhar Pandit is Bhava Shraya. So who is the Shudanama Shraya?
Shrivas.
Thakur. Shrivas Thakur. And who is the Pancharatrika Vidya Shraya? What about Gadadhar Pandit? So now moving on to Nityananda. Sri Nityananda Prabhu. He is Prema Shraya. Prem. Krishna Prem. So he is the shelter of prema. And he is the giver of prema. And the giver of bhakti. He represents Guru. Nityananda. Nityananda Tattva. And he serves the Lord in all the different types of prema. He serves him in Dasirati. And he serves the Lord in Sakirati and Vatsalirati and Madhurarati. As Balaram, as Nittai. As Nittai, he's serving him in Dasirati and Sakirati as a friend and as a servant. And also in Vatsalirati, sometimes as a parent. He's protecting him. He's looking after him. He's catching him or trying to catch him when he falls. Then in Madhurarati, then Nittai becomes Janava. And Janava's counterpart is Ananga Manjari, Radharani's sister. So Nittai is serving all the rasas and all the prema. He's very much the Prema Shraya, shelter of prema. We say Namo Maha Vananaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. We glorify Gauranga as the giver of prema. So this prayer is telling that Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he's the giver of Pradayate, Krishna Prema Pradayate. But there's one catch to this. He doesn't give prema to anyone that's not favored by Nityananda. He has a treasury, but Nitai has the keys. You may have a treasury box full of diamonds and rubies and emeralds and pearls and gold and silver and everything, platinum. And you say, oh, all my wealth is here. Okay, well, open it up. I don't have the key. Well, who has the key? Nitai.
Jai
Nitai. Jai Nitai. Eka Chakradam Ki Jaya. Jaya Jaya Nitai, Jaya Jaya Gaur, Jaya Jaya Sri Dhammayapur, Eka Chakragram, Jaya Nityananda Ram. Eka Chakragram, Jaya Nityananda Ram. It's a little song I made up. So we have Jaya Jaya Radhe, Jaya Jaya Sham, Jaya Jaya Sri Vrindavanam. I said, well, what's the counter? Okay. Jaya Jaya Nitai, Jaya Jaya Gaur. Or we can say Jaya Jaya Gadai, that's really more counter. Because Radhe Sham is Gadai Gaur. Jai Jai Gadai, Jai Jai Gaur, Jai Jai Sri Dhammayapur. Because Gadai is Radha. Gadai means Gadadhar. Nitai means Nityananda. Gadai Gaur, Gadai. Yeah, they're also chanting Gaur, Gaur, Gaur. As soon as I said Gaur, oh yes, Gaur, 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 Gaur. See, because some of the Bengali dogs have come here for Purushottam. They've come here for Purushottam Vrat. Usually the dogs here are only chanting Radha, Radha, Radha. Only they're chanting Radha. But during these Kartik and Purushottam, many Bengali dogs come here to observe this Vrat. Because Bengali dogs are only chanting Gaur, Gaur, Gaur. That's why you're hearing some dogs are chanting Gaur, Gaur. There's some Bengali Yatri dogs. Yatri Kutas. They also travel, you know, the dogs travel. Prema Shraya Nityananda. Das Goswami tried to get Krishna Prem from Gauranga, but he was a failure. Why? He wasn't favored by Nitai. He ran away and he was caught. He ran away, he was caught. He ran away, he was caught. Finally he got the mercy of Nitai, then he could go. Door was open. They ran to Mahaprabhu. So Nitai is a prema shraya. Oh Nityananda Prabhu, please bless me. Please awaken. Please make me eligible for praying. Please fill me with your mercy. Take all the money, Lord. Take all the money. You're a jewel mine of all good qualities. Take all the money. You have so many good qualities and I have none. I am very unhappy. Ami Boro Dukhi. But you're Boro Sukhi. I'm Boro Sukhi. You're very, very happy. Kripa Kana Koro, please bestow your mercy upon me, Nitai. Make me happy. Happy means surrendered to Krishna. There's no happiness outside of that. This is what happiness means. Happiness means surrender to Krishna. Everything else is an imitation. So he's saying, Kripa, give me your mercy. Give me the happiness. Sukhi, I'm very unhappy. Please make me happy. Happy means please help me surrender to Krishna. So Nitai can help us surrender to Krishna. Because Vishaya Chariya Kave Shuddha Haviman. Vishaya Chariya Kave Shuddha Haviman. Kavi Hama Herabha Sri Vrindavanda. Vrindavanda means the place of Krishna. The place of Radha. Radha Krishna Seva Vrindavanda. But it can't enter there with Vishaya spirit. So this Nitai, this is his special power. He destroys sense gratification. He has his Shakti. Because it's very powerful. Sense gratification is very powerful. So unless we get the mercy of Nitai, we can't give up sense gratification. That's why Nitai can do it. Vishaya Chariya Kave Shuddha Haviman. Vishaya Chariya means Chordo. Let go of the poison. Vishaya Chariya. Visha means poison. Amrit and Vish. Vish means poison. Vishakanya, right? They have this term, Vishakanya. They train up a girl a virgin girl. She gave her a little poison. Vishakanya. They used to use these girls during the war in India. They take one girl, because in the court there's so many young girls, illegitimate girls that come from here and there, dasi putras and whatnot. So she's in the king, she works for the king, she's a king's daughter by somebody or other, somehow or other, by somebody in the palace. So she's maintained, she does work in the kitchen. But they give her some special vitamin every day called vish, poison. And she takes a little bit, one grain, two grains, three grains, a little bit every year more. By the time she's 16, her saliva is so much poisonous. But she's not poisoned by it because she's built up antibodies. It's called Vishakanya. Kanya means virgin. So then they tell her, listen, this king is very lusty and he's very wealthy and he's my enemy. So you please do some seva. You go to that kingdom, and you dress very nicely, very attractively, and you meet the king, and you kiss the king, or whatever you do something. And when you kiss the king, then the king will die. So we have a phrase in English, maybe you heard, called the kiss of death. Maybe you heard, I think in America we used to hear the kiss of death. The kiss of death comes from India. Now this is Maya. Maya is the kiss of death. Shaya Kanya. Very clever technique, huh? Good way to take over a kingdom. Hassle-free, arrow-free. You don't have to shoot one arrow. You don't need one horse. You don't need an elephant. You just send one girl from your palace. So Maya is so powerful. So sense gratification is called Vish, Vishayi. Vishayi Chariya Kavedat. We have to give up this poison. This poison has to come out of our system, sense gratification. When the poison comes out of the system, then shuddha-vimana, the mind becomes pure, pure mind. And when the mind is pure, then Vrindavan, we can enter Vrindavan. What is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is Radha and Krishna Seva, Yoga Seva. That's all Vrindavan means. Everyone in Vrindavan, everything in Vrindavan, every element, every tree, every rock, every river, every waterfall, every animal, every bird, every man, woman, child, girl, baby, everyone is only engaged in the service of Radha Krishna. They're all existing for the pleasure of Radha Krishna. They're all moving and acting and speaking for the pleasure of Radha Krishna, to bring Radha Krishna together. This is Radha Krishna Yugodam, Rajadam. So this is a formula. So now, the next question is Vishayacharya Shudhabhiman Kavihava Parava Sri Vrindavan Dham. That we can enter Sri Vrindavan. So how do we get free from the poison? Then we need the Amrit. Amrit is the antidote. Amrit means nectar. Vishan Amrit, poison and nectar. The sense gratification is poison. So what is the nectar that counteracts it? The nectar is seva. Krishna seva, Vaishnava seva, Nam seva, Dham seva, Guru seva, seva. Seva. And Nityananda is the emperor of seva. You can read in Adi Lila chapter 5 all about this principle. Chaitanya Charitamrita. He is the emperor of seva. And it's described Sevananda. He's absorbed in the bliss of seva. And so by the mercy of Nityananda, we will get the service of Krishna. We'll get engaged in service. Because he will direct us to Guru. Because one of Nityananda's forms is Chaitya Guru. It's a form of Nityananda, because Nityananda is Balaram. Balaram expands his Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha expands his Purushavatars. Purushavatars are Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So Chaitya Guru, Shiradakshaya Vishnu is Nittai.
Jai
Nittai! Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. So this is Nittai. He takes us out of the darkness, and he brings us to the light. He's there, but you have to look hard and open the light, use the light of your heart, and you can see the way. Radharana ki jai, Nityananda Rama ki jai, Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. So this poison, vishaya of sense gratification, is very difficult to overcome. That's why we can only do this by the mercy of Nittai, as Raghunath Das Goswami showed. That he overcame this beautiful wife, more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. And he was able to conquer vast wealth, an empire of wealth. millions of dollars. He was able to give up wealth and woman. Kamani Kanak Pratishtha. He was a famous person in the village, the son of the Zamindar. Zamindar means the emperor's tax collector and landholder. He was holding all the land. Basically, he was holding all the real estate, exacting taxes and giving to the emperor. Govardhan Majumadara, the father of Raghunath Das. So he was a very famous person. Everyone knew his father. Everyone knows the tax man. The tax man goes house to house, pay the tax. And then, who are you? Oh, I'm the son of the tax man. Oh, you're the son of the tax man. So you become famous. So he had Pratishtha fame, and he had Kamani. He had a beautiful wife, described as being more beautiful than Goddess of Fortune. Faithful, sweet, beautiful, submissive, talented, wealthy, cultured, and Kanak, gold, unlimited gold. Now this is the epitome of sense gratification. Kamani Kanak Pratishtha. But by the mercy of Nittai, it was all dissolved. It was all removed. It was all diminished. So why is Nittai involved with this? Because Nittai is Balaram. So something that's very difficult to overcome, you need Bala. Bal. Bal means spiritual strength. Krishna can't do it. Gauranga can't do it. Nittai can do it. The demons that Krishna couldn't kill, Pralambasura, right? Pralambasura is very powerful. And who was the other demon? Pralambasura? Yeah, I can't remember. But there's some very powerful demons that only Balaram could kill. So this is the most powerful demon that faces everyone. It's the demon of Vishayi, sense gratification. So Nittai can destroy that demon. And then we can enter Vrindavan. And we'll sing some songs when we have light. Now we don't have so much light. Sri Krishna goes on to describe the Ekadasi Mahatmyam for this Ekadasi. There was a pious Brahmin named Sumedha who lived in the city of Kampilya, and he had a chaste wife named Pavitra. But due to some sinful activities, this pious Brahmin Sumedha became poor. He could not earn his livelihood even by begging. Eventually he had no food to eat, no cloth to wear, no place to sleep. Nevertheless, his young, beautiful wife faithfully served him. Those were the old days. Nowadays, if your income drops below 1 lakh a month, your wife's gone. Nevertheless, his young... Oh, they said that. Often the wife had to remain hungry for the sake of serving a guest. In spite of often remaining hungry, her face did not become pale. She never told her husband about this. Upon seeing his wife becoming weaker day by day, the Brahmin condemned himself and said to his sweetly speaking wife, "Oh, my dear one, although I've tried to beg from the most influential people, I didn't get anything. Now tell me, what should I do? Should I go to a foreign country to earn wealth?" So even in those days, people were going to America. It's like Lord Chaitanya, he went to America. And in those days, America was called East Bengal. He went to East Bengal to teach Sanskrit because West Bengal there was too many teachers. It's pretty hard to teach Sanskrit in Navadvip since there was 10,000 Sanskrit tolls. So it was a lot of competition. So he went somewhere where there were no Sanskrit teachers. And they were rather stupid, actually. But he went to East Bengal. I mean, there were some Brahmins there. But when he came back from East Bengal, he made fun of their dialect. Actually, that's part of his fun. But this was the idea that generally it's also told in Dharma Shastras that if someone travels, they'll make wealth, be they a Brahmin or a Vaishya or even a king. So the kings used to go on these crusades or these campaigns, and Alexander the Great and all these different characters, they always went all over the place to make money, like conquering countries and lands. So this is a principle that's going on for thousands of years. If you want to make money, you have to travel, because the whole idea is that this Brahmin named Sumedha, he's trying to come up with some good ideas to make some money, because he feels pity for his wife's condition. and his own condition. So he said, I can go to a foreign country to earn wealth. So reading that reminded me of this statement how my sannyasi godbrother suggested I traveled around the world to make money. So I didn't go anywhere. I stayed in Vrindavan. And somehow I'm able to give 4 lakhs a year in charity. Just by preaching and writing books. I never went anywhere. That's pretty good income. I mean, 4 lakhs I give in charity, that doesn't count the cost of reprinting books, right? Also, books cost money, so I'm reprinting books also. That's beyond the profit from the that goes back into book printing, which is another 5 lakhs or so. I'm giving 4 lakhs for the care for cows in Vrindavan Temple. So their desire was also fulfilled. they said you should travel and make money. So I said, well, maybe I just write books and make let money come this way. Krishna knows everything, actually. If we have sincere desire to serve Krishna and be with Krishna, then he makes all adjustments. It was like one time, one girl, she was in Mayapur, and she was praying to Lord Gauranga on Gaur Purnima. She was really sincere, and she was really feeling a great need to find Guru. She said, oh, Gauranga, please, you're very merciful. You're Patita Pavan Avatar. Please help me, I need to find Guru. You please direct me to my Guru. Then, and a few months later, Gauranga answered her prayers, and she found Guru. So Krishna adjusts everything if we're sincere. He doesn't ask for much. Krishna doesn't ask for money. He doesn't ask for beauty. He doesn't ask for knowledge. He doesn't ask for austerity. He doesn't ask for anything but a drop of sincerity. There's a little sincerity there, then that's everything. Isn't there something like that in the Bible, or something? Sincerity can move mountains, or something. Ati Sundari, ever heard anything like that?
I
think maybe it's faith. Faith moves mountains. Yeah, I think that's right. A drop of faith moves mountains. So this is a nice phrase. Sincerity is, I mean, without faith there can't be sincerity either. I may get something there if I am fortunate. Without enthusiasm, no work is successful. The Brahmin is saying this. This is actually a principle. Everywhere, it's a very interesting principle. We're talking about sincerity, but if you read Niti Shastra, Niti is like rules about life and things. Niti Shastra, which is by Chanakya Pandit, he says that, and there's also a Bengali phrase, they said that the goddess of fortune lives with somebody who's enthusiastic. So if this is the key to success in business, just be enthusiastic. And we see even in Nectar of Instruction, there are only 11 instructions about perfection, about Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojan. Rupa Goswami has summarized the entire Vedas into 11 instructions. He says, Utsaha Nishchayat Daryat. Utsaha Nishchayat Daryat. He said, Utsaha, this is the first thing he says, enthusiasm, Nishta, steadiness, Daryak, humility, patience rather. Darya means patience. So be patient, but be enthusiastic. Utsaha. And what is it? And somebody says, how do you be enthusiastic, or what is enthusiasm? Enthusiasm means despite all opposition, despite all setbacks, despite all obstacles, you keep on pushing. Keep on trucking, as they say. As they have said. Keep on moving. Keep just no matter, don't stop. Keep chanting. Keep serving. Oh my back, oh my head, this, that. Anyway, forget all that. Let me keep on going. So this is the utsaha. And then if we keep on going, then the darkness will abate and light will come. The darkness of obstacles and ignorance that will go away, and the light of knowledge will come into us, and we'll see the clarity, we'll see the way, and we'll find our way out of the darkness by enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is really magic. That's the difference between a successful person and a failure. A person who's successful is enthusiastic. That's why he's saying it, that no work without enthusiasm, no work is successful. Hare Krishna. You know, this is enthusiasm. Applied energy, intention, good intentions backed by applied energy. Good intentions backed by sustained energy. This is enthusiasm. Good intentions, spiritual intentions, backed by sustained energy. It's enthusiasm. I mean, also enthusiasm means, as we said so many times, it comes from entheos. Theos means God, theology, study of God. So to be in God, enthusiasm means to be in God, with God. So if you're with God, you're very enthusiastic. You see the coward boys, they're very enthusiastic. They're with Krishna, Radharani, the gopis. Everyone's very enthusiastic. No one's lazy over there. You don't read any accounts of lazy people. They're not lazy. They're always running, jumping, skipping, dancing, singing, stealing, something. Is it, right? You ever hear about people just lazing around, watching the clouds go by? And sometimes they rest under a tree, or Krishna gets tired, he puts his head on the shoulder of a coward boy. These things go on. Without enthusiasm, no work is successful. That is why intelligent persons always praise the enthusiasm of the people. So you want to be successful, be enthusiastic. Chandrika Pandit says, when you in business, you should be very enthusiastic in two activities, when you eat and when you do business. He says that. So when you eat, even the mother and father, they say, why are you playing with your food? Because the guy fell in love or something, so doesn't feel like eating. He wants to meet his girlfriend or something. After hearing these words of her husband, Sumedha, the beautiful-eyed Pavitra said to him with folded hands and tears in her eyes, there is no one more intelligent than you. Whatever we do and whatever we achieve in this world is due to our previous deeds. If one has no piety accumulated from his previous life, he cannot attain anything, however hard he may try. Interesting. If a person distributes knowledge or wealth in his previous life, he attains similar things in this life. So, distribute knowledge and wealth. Oh, best of the Brahmanas, it seems that neither you nor I gave any charity to a suitable candidate in our previous lives. That's why we have no knowledge and no money. And that is why both of us will have to stay here together. Oh, Lord, I cannot remain without you even for a moment. Moreover, if you go, then people will call me an unfortunate person and will condemn me. Therefore, please be happy with whatever wealth you can collect here. You will certainly achieve happiness in this country only. Upon hearing the words of his wife, the Brahmin dropped his plan to go to a foreign country. One day, by providence, the great sage Kaundinya Muni came there. As soon as Sumedha saw him, he and his wife became joyful and offered their obeisances to the sage. Sumedha offered Nasan to the sage and worshipped him properly. He said, O great sage, today our lives have become successful, for we have your darshan. Then the couple fed the sage according to their ability. Then the wife of the Brahmins asked, O learned sage, what is the means of destroying poverty? Without giving any charity, how can one get wealth, education, and so on? My husband wanted to go to a foreign country in order to earn wealth, but I stopped him from this act. It is indeed our great good fortune that you have come here. By your mercy, our poverty will certainly be destroyed. Now please instruct us so that our poverty will be destroyed. After hearing the words from Pavitra, the great sage Kaundinya said, there is an auspicious Ekadasi, which occurs during the waning moon of the extra leap year month. This Ekadasi is very dear to the Lord. It's known as Parama Ekadasi. If you observe this Ekadasi, it will vanquish one's sinful reactions and vanquish one's material miseries and poverty. A person will certainly become prosperous. This Ekadasi was first observed by Kubera. You know who Kubera is? He's Daddy Warbucks. He's a treasurer of the demigods. He's in charge of the universal bank. He's the one that Rockefeller borrows money from. Because Rockefeller owns the World Bank, and all the countries of the world borrow money from Rockefeller. But then the obvious question is, well, who does Rockefeller borrow money from? Rockefeller borrows money from Kubera. Right? Even Vishnu borrowed money from Kubera. So you can imagine how rich he is. Lakshminath borrowed money from Kubera in order to marry Lakshmi.
Balaji.
Balaji. Vishnu. Kubera is really wealthy. And how do you become wealthy? By observing the Sikadasi.
All right.
As a result of this, Lord Shiva became pleased and awarded him the benediction of becoming very rich. So we also want to become very rich, right? And very wealthy. In what? Krishna Prem. Because in Ramananda Samvag, in chapter 8 of Madhyalila, Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda, who is a wealthy man? And Ramananda said, he who has Krishna Prem, he is a wealthy man. By observing this Ekadasi, King Harishchandra regained his kingdom and wife, whom he once sold out. O beautiful eyed one, you should also observe this Ekadasi. Even a sage has understanding. She has beautiful eyes. Now, be careful, sage. Apparently she had very beautiful eyes, because it said before that she had beautiful eyes. Now the sage, he's saying, yes, Mrs. Sumedha, you do have beautiful eyes. Oh, beautiful eyed one. Charuakshi. You should also observe this Ekadasi. Krishna continued, oh, Yudhisthira, after happily and affectionately describing the topics of Parama Ekadasi, Kondinya Muni described the auspicious vow known as Pancharatri. By observing the Pancharatri vow, one attains liberation. One should begin observing Pancharatri vow from the day of Parama Ekadasi with proper rules and regulations. Anyone who, according to his ability, fasts for 5 days, beginning from Parama Ekadasi, goes back to Vishnuloka along with his father, mother, and wife. So if you don't want to go with them, then don't observe this vow. Because you may not want to go with your wife. One who eats once a day during these 5 days becomes free from all sinful reactions and goes to the spiritual world. Arrivo! That sounds good. Just eat once, but eat a lot. It's called 3-in-1. Breakfast, dinner, and lunch all in one. Don't be shy. He didn't give any restrictions on the amount. He only says eat and eat a lot. But eat once. According to the instructions of Kondinya Muni, both husband and wife duly observe Parama Ekadasi. When the vows of Ekadasi and Pancharatri were completed, a prince from the royal palace came there to meet Sumedha and Pavitra, who has beautiful eyes. Being inspired by Lord Brahma, the prince offered them a new house decorated with beautiful royal furniture, just what anyone would want. He also gave a cow to the Brahmin for their livelihood, and after praising the Brahmin couple, the prince left. As a result of this, this prince returned to the abode of Vishnu at the end of his life. Well, that was a pretty good, smart thing that the prince did, give a donation of land and house and cow to a Brahmin. As the Brahmanas are best among the human beings, as the cows are best among the four-legged animals, as Indra is the best among the demigods, similarly, the leap year month is the best among all the months. Within this month, the two Ekadasis named Padmini and Parama are most dear to Lord Hari. If after receiving a human form of life, one does not observe Ekadasi, then he never attains any happiness throughout the 8,400,000 species of life. Rather, he suffers unlimited miseries. By virtue of great piety, one obtains a human birth. Therefore, one should certainly observe the vow of Ekadasi. After hearing the glories of this Ekadasi from Lord Krishna, Maharaj Yudhisthira, along with his wife and brothers, observed this sacred Ekadasi. Kamala Ekadasi, Parama Ekadasi ki jai. So the point that's being made here by Lord Krishna in this Mahatmyam is that this Purushottam Mas, extra month, Adhika Mas, is very, very special. It's not like any of the other 12 months of the year, because it doesn't come every year. It comes every 3 years. It's the 13th month. It's extra time. It's actually extra time. No one appears in this month. No one disappears in this month. No avatar appeared. No one disappeared. No acharya appeared. No one disappeared. You see, you look at the calendar, the Radhakund calendar. Is there any disappearances? Nothing. Of course, I heard, I don't know if it's correct, but Braja Sundar Das Baba left yesterday.
No, he left on the 5th.
What day?
5th.
Because we went by the temple the other day. Prikama, the temple's also closed. Maybe the temple's closed for some days to observe that, the Mahaprabhu temple. He left on the 5th of May. No? June. That's during Purushottam month. His ambition, one of his ambitions, was to build a beautiful temple for Mahaprabhu, just like the temple in Puri, out of red stone, like Madan Mohan. So originally Mahaprabhu was in a small broken down house, which is still behind the temple. And I remember, did you ever see when I was there?
When
Mahaprabhu was in the old temple, you saw? Because the temple's deity is very old. That same deity that's in the new temple was in the old temple, which is a small house behind the new temple. And it's been there at least 30 years that I know. And we used to take darshan. And of course, it's this huge deity in a very small room. The temple room is like my room, 10 by 15 or so. Now it's that big red sandstone temple. Everyone's seen that. You're on the Prikama Mark. You've seen it. Carved stone, very beautiful. Really one of a kind. There's nothing been made like that in the last 400 years in North India. It's really amazing. Beautiful temple. It cost $8 million or something like that. $8 million. It's all hand carved. The walls are 4 feet thick, hand carved stone. Special stone, it comes from I don't know where. It's all red sandstone. And very beautiful. It took 20 years to make. So, when you would take Prikama, that temple, do Prikama Mahaprabhu, the floors were like in a fun house. If you ever, in the West, they have these fun houses where you go and it's all crazy and funny. Because the floors had collapsed. So there was some marbles. So the one floor, when you go on one side of the deity, you go around the deities, right? Not inside the temple. And one floor, you go this side, and the floor would go like that. And then it would go like this. And part of it would go like this. The two sides, it was just wood at one time, marble, I guess it was like stone or marble. And then one would go like this and go like that. You'd go four times around the temple, you'd be totally intoxicated. It was really a broken up place. So he was, when he started the construction, he was about 95, I think. And he took a vow, he said, he prayed to Mahaprabhu, please allow me to live to finish your temple and offer you this nice temple. So he lived it. I think he left his body is about 120 or so.
117.
It's 117 years.
He had only one disciple. He had many people given, so many people came for his disappearance. Oh. From Agra, from Mathura, but he had only one disciple. And he would eat only from him, whatever he could.
He would only drink water from him. He would accept only water from his hand.
So when he gives you water, you take so much of the karma. That's where all these payals are there on the Govardhan Prakama. All the Agarwals are out there downloading their karma. All the Agarwals from Delhi, they come here. All these payals are organized by businessmen. Agarwals. You just pay some local kids to pass out the water. We can go inside and we can offer a relapse to Radharani. And Krishna will be very happy to see the Radharani's being worshipped.
But actually, when I went to ask Baba when was Purushottam finished,
yeah.
He said, I asked him, when is Purushottam month finished? He said, Purushottam is not a month. Purushottam is he. You should understand that Purushottam is not the month, it's he himself. He said that's why he comes every 3 years, that's the 13th of, you know, like that thing. But it's not a month. It's not.
There's no time.
It's not a material time. He said.
Yeah, there's no material time.
He said after when he's finished worship time, then the material time will come again. But right now we are not in a material time.
Yeah, that's right. And so if you read, even if you read those few pages I gave out, you know, there was some description in the first few pages about Purushottam Mas. You saw that? I gave it. So it says there that Krishna is telling the demigods, and when he was glorifying, he adopted this personality lady that appeared as this time period or whatever. And he said that this month will be named after me, and this month is me. This month is not different from me. All my energies, all my powers, all my potencies, everything, whatever I am this month is me. Because when you read Gita, I've discussed this already so many times in the last few weeks, but if you weren't here, when you read Gita, Krishna is talking about vibhuti. He's talking about his vibhuti and his virat, how to see Krishna in this world, how to see Krishna. First you have to see Krishna in the material world, and then you become Krishna conscious, and then you can see Krishna in the world of the heart, and that's when you're spiritually conscious. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanina. When we have Bhakti Vilochan, the eye of devotion, which is spiritual eye, spiritual vision, then we can see Krishna with the eye of love, Prema Vilochan. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanina Santaksada Viridyeshi Vilokyanti Yamashama Sandrama Chintya Gunasurvam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Brahma is telling how to see Krishna. Premanjan. Anjan is like kajal. This Krishna, this month, Krishna is telling Gita, he's talking about vibhutis. Among fishes, I am the shark. Among stars, I am the moon. Among planets, I am the sun. Among immovable things, I am the Himalayas. Among bodies of water, I am the ocean. Among rivers, I am the Ganga. I am the ability in man. I am Prabhasmi Shashi Shuriyo. I am the Prabha. I am the light of the sun and the moon. In the Vedas, Shabdake Purusham Nirishu, I am sound and ether. Then he says, Pranavat Sarvavedishu. Among all the Vedas, Sarvavedishu, I am the Pranava, Pranava Omkara. That represents me, Om, the Yakshar, A-O and M, Om. Pranavat Sarvavedishu, I am the Pranava. Among all the Vedas, Sarvavedishu. That Om is the primordial sound that expands into all the Vedas. That's me. I am Om. And so he says, I am this, I am that. These are all called vibhuti, vibhuti matsatvam. He says, vibhuti matsatvam. That know that all these vibhutis are but a spark of my splendor. They're only a spark of my tej, my wealth, my aishwarya. So in that same section, he says, margashirshaham. Mas, margashirshaham mas. He says, among months, I am margashirsha. Margashirsha is November and December. So Krishna is saying, there's 12 months of the year, but this particular month represents me. It represents me. Not that I am this month. It represents me. Just, I'm not a shark, but the shark represents me. Among fishes, I am the shark. Because the shark is the most powerful, and of all the fishes, the shark. And among stars, I am the moon. It doesn't mean Krishna is the moon. It means that the moon is, when the moon shines, when the moon comes out, all the other stars retire. But when the moon's not there, then, oh, there's that star and this star. When the moon comes out, there's no stars. There's only one star. The superstar. The superstar is the moon, right? Superstar. So he's the most brilliant and the most powerful. So this the most brilliant, the most powerful, the top thing, the best thing, the essence, that's Krishna. But now when we talk about Purushottam month, it's not representing Krishna as Guruji was saying. It is Krishna. Not that the shark is representing Krishna's vibhuti among the aquatics. Among aquatics, among fishes, I am the shark. So it represents Krishna's vibhuti, power, opulence. But he is this month. This month is Krishna, 100%. So anything you do to honor Krishna this month, actually traditionally in India, all the religious pious businessmen would close their businesses for 1 month. Ekdam closed. Not open. They close their shops, and you go, all the villages, all the shops will be closed, and all the pious Agarwals and Guptas, whoever they were, around India, they would all go to a holy place. Benares, Haridwar, Badrinath, Mathura, Ayodhya, Kashi. They would go, or maybe Srirangam, or these are other types of holy places. And they would go there and spend the entire month hearing Harikatha from the saintly people. That's usually what they do. You go there and you live there, and you live a little bit austerely, and naturally Dharmashala is austere life automatically. And take an everyday bath in the sacred river somewhere, Kaveri, Sindhu, Jumuna Ganga, Narmada, Krishna. Take sacred bath every day. Hear Harikatha and restrict your eating. And chant stoti, stotrams, Gopal Sahasranam, Vishnu Sahasranam. In other words, absorb yourself in bhakti. And so this was a very wonderful purifying effect. It was like a really shot of mercy. Every 3 years you get to meet Krishna. Sakshat darshan. That's a nice point he was saying. This month, this is Krishna. Krishna's here. Sakshat Krishna. So everything, imagine how happy is when someone glorifies Krishna's devotee in this month. Spend 7 hours glorifying Radharani non-stop. Imagine standing in Radharani glorifying Radharani. Radhakanda is Radharani. Standing in Radharani, chanting Radharani's glories for 7 hours in Krishna's month. Not Krishna's month, but in Krishna. This is Krishna. This month is Krishna. Krishna is hearing, Krishna is seeing, Krishna is watching, Krishna is listening. That's why we want to go the extra mile in this month, do something more. That's why we're observing two Jagarans in this month. Because next Jagaran is Sunshine Ekadasi, very sour schedule. You can do every Ekadasi or every day or every night, whatever you want to do. But this is also very important, this Shine Ekadasi. And then Parivartana Ekadasi, when they roll up, demigods roll over, that's after 2 months. And then Uttani Ekadasi, this other these three Jagarans. And maybe one more or so in October. First ever you gotta see what you should do with Jagran. I'm working towards that, but at least we want to do these most important days, or at least to try. With all of your contribution and enthusiasm, we're able to somehow last. Because generally on Ekadasi we don't sleep during the day nor the night. This is the proper. Well, we were prepared to sleep during the day today, but our friends kept us up. We spent the afternoon with two Brahmins, with Prakash and Shriya. So it was really nice. He was speaking in Bhagavatam, and we were giving, and Vishwanath was commenting, and we were asking questions on the basis of Vishwanath's comments. We passed 3 hours and we read four verses. It was really nice, really nice.